यमुना चिरावनचारी यमुना चिरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव जूपी जय ओम विष्णु पर परमहंस परिव्रज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद्भक्तिवाय ग्रेस भय चनन अरविंद भक्ति राम स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन प्रतिष्ठा आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम सिंह हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशरी गौर भक्तवृंद की जय जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन राम की जय नवदीप सीमाय पोताम की जय गंगमय की जय जामुनमय की जय भक्तिदेव की जय तुलसी महारान की जय श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन गौर भक्तवृंद की जय All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Sri. Jai Sri Radha Madhav. Sri Prabhupada said this song, Jai Radha Madhav, is a picture of Vrindavan. Here is Radha Krishna, Radha Madhava, Govardhan is there, Jamuna. It's a picture of Vrindavan. That was in Gorakhpur. Then he went into an ecstasy. No, he went into an ecstasy first when he was singing. Afterwards he was saying how his song is a picture of Vrindavan. So many pictures in the pictures can be there in Vrindavan. So here, now we're talking about Vrindavan in the Shakyas, Krishna and his boyfriends is Vrindavan, but now the time of the day is such that the boys are performing their pastimes in the forest, playing, etc., like that, and eating their lunch. So throughout the day there's different pastimes. Krishna will meet with different types of devotees and so then they have their separate pastimes. So time for the boys, time for the girls, time for the mothers and parents and elderly people to be with Krishna and express their devotion to Krishna. So this is Vrindavan. And at the topmost pastime of Krishna is his pastimes with the gopis. Because the gopis bring Krishna the greatest happiness. By comparative study, we can understand that the gopis, they have a deeper love and affection for Krishna. Everybody has the deepest love and affection for Krishna. The gopis exhibit it. When the analysis is made, then Prabhupada said, we come to the conclusion that the those in Madhuras are better situated in terms of Krishna satisfaction. So here the Shakya, this is Shakya, there's an excuse for the boys to go out into the forest and leave the parents at home. So Krishna goes out with the Shakyas. Then at noontime approximately he goes to Radhakund, meets Radharani, they have pastimes there. And then it's time to start going home with the cows. So the boys got Krishna out in the forest on the plea of herding the cows, and then now they have to, at noontime, Krishna has an excuse to go and see the gopis. Then again after some time, the different pastimes again, the boys will come and it's time to go home. The sun's now on its way down. So again the boys, now they're causing a separation. They called a union by the excuse of being in the forest, with Krishna, and now it's time for them to leave that situation. And one was meeting in their pastimes. Bringing Radha and Krishna together, then at a certain time then they will separate them also. It's time to go back with the cows, it's time to meet the parents and everything. So from one pastime to another, Krishna is going from one set of rasas to another set, enjoying with different devotees in different circumstances. So Vrindavan is uniting Krishna, the different devotees and their different mellows and pastimes. They unite Krishna, and then at different times they separate Krishna. Radha and Krishna never want to be separated, of course, but due to ill fate they will be separated. So this increases the love of Radha and Krishna's pastime. So it's union and separation, Shambhog and Vipralamba, bringing Radha and Krishna together, then parting them again, then bringing them together again, then making them like this. So in this way, if we were God, if we had a choice to be God, I think we would be thinking more of happiness and sambhoga all the time. We go to the Spanish Riviera and play around on the beach or whatever you do, whole day and night. But it's not like that. There was a song, "If I ruled the world, every day would be the first day of spring." But it's not like that in a spiritual world. Spring is there, but then it changes to summer. Then there's different pastimes. Then winter, it gets cold in the winter. So different pastimes. In the rainy season, it rains. So as different pastimes are located, they run to the Govardhan, they hide in the caves, under trees. It's the time for all the luscious fruits to come out. So the variety is a spice of life. It's not all just enjoyment. It's changing, constantly changing. So then everybody's accommodated. Everyone in any relationship with Krishna you want is accommodated by the potencies of Krishna, the energies of Krishna. जय राधा माधव की जय. सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th canto chapter 13 text 43 Brahma stealing the boys and calves. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Evam eteshu vedeshu chiram dhyatva sha atma bhu santya ke katare neti gyatum Neshti Katarañcana Evam Miteshu Vedeshu Chiram Dvatva Sa Atmabhu Satyaki Katari Neti Gyatum Neshti Katanchana Evam miteshu vedeshu Chiram dhyatva asa atmabhu Satyanki katari neti Gyantum nesti katanchana Evam miteshu vedeshu Chiram dhyatva asa atmabhu Satyaki katari neti Gyantum neshti katanchana Evameteshu vedeshu Chiram dhyatva sa atmabhu Satva ketare neti Gyatum nesti katanchana Evam In this way Eteshu Vedeshu Between these boys who were existing Separately, Chiram, for a long time, Dvatva, after thinking, Shahi, Atmabhu, Lord Brahma, Satya, real, Ke, who, Katare, who, Na, are not. Iti, thus, gyatum, to understand, na, not, ishte, was able, katanchana, in any way at all. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, the boy Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thus, Lord Brahma, thinking and thinking for a long time, tried to distinguish between those two sets of boys who were each separately existing. He tried to understand who was real and who is not real, but he couldn't understand at all. Please repeat. Thus, Lord Brahma, thinking and thinking for a long time, Try to distinguish between those two sets of boys who were each separately existing. He tried to understand who was real and who is not real, but he could not understand at all. Purport. Brahma was puzzled. The original boy and calves are still sleeping as I have kept them, he thought. But another set is here playing with Krishna. How this has happened? Brahma could not grasp what was happening. Which boys were real and which were not real? Brahma was unable to come to any definite conclusion. He pondered the matter for a long time. How can there be two sets of calves and boys at the same time? Have the boys and calves been created by Krishna? Or has Krishna created the ones lying asleep? Or are they both merely creations of Krishna? Brahma thought about the subject matter in many different ways. After I go to the cave and see the boys and calves are still there, does Krishna go take them away and put them here so when I come here I can see them? Or does Krishna take them from here and put them there? Brahma could not figure out how there could be two sets of calves and cowherd boys exactly alike. Although thinking and thinking, he could not understand at all. Oh, Magyanta Mirandasvitananjaran Shalakitakshurun Meritanjina Tasma Shri Gravinma Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garata Shiva Shari Gauru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Ramo Hari Ramo Rama Rama Hari Hari. So here's Brahma Vimohana Leela, the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. So here we can see that Brahma totally bewildered. He can't figure it out at all. So he's asking these questions that are going through his mind. Yes. Six or seven questions. One of the questions is, the original boys and calves are still sleeping, but another set is here playing with Krishna. How has this happened? It's another question. Which boys are real and which boys are not real? Another question. How can there be two sets of calves and boys? Another question. Have the boys and calves here been created by Krishna? Or has Krishna only created the ones lying asleep? Or, another question, are they both merely creations of Krishna? Or another question, after I go to the cave and see that the boys and calves are still there, does Krishna go take them away and put them here so that when I come here I can see them? Or does Krishna take them from here and put them there? After thinking and thinking, he could not understand at all. And Brahma says, here or a bit later, do we pass or just coming up? I've got four heads. I'm considered the most intelligent person in the universe. And I can't understand. So who else can understand? I'm supposed to be the most knowledgeable person in the universe. But I cannot understand. Then what to speak of others when they're trying to understand? So, illusion is there. We are subject to four defects. We must become illusioned. Must be. Senses are imperfect. We look at the sun, and it's like a rupee coin. Size of the sun in the sky, it looks like about the big as a rupee coin, or 2 rupee coin, or something. So my senses, my eyes tell me that the sun is this big. But if we do the proper calculation, we have come to understand it's 93 million miles away. And it's a huge, huge, huge planet. So my eye says it's only this big. So we senses are imperfect. We're gathering knowledge from these imperfect senses. So how can the knowledge become perfect? So we're illusioned. We make mistakes. Brahma made him a big mistake here. He wanted to test Krishna just to see what would happen. He made a big mistake. He didn't know what he was getting himself into. And Brahma tried to deceive Krishna. So illusion, imperfect senses, makes mistakes. And the cheating propensity. He was cheating Krishna a little bit. I'll cheat you, I'll take away the boys. And so here Brahma is exhibiting all these four defects that we have. So he's the most important person in the universe practically. But we see he's subject to all these four at the same time. Illusion, cheating, imperfect senses. So he came to his senses after some time. Namrita Mahatmya Maharaj was explaining a little bit that Lord Brahma went to come to Navadvipa, Antadvipa. He said, I think I made a big mistake. I did make a big mistake when I when I tested Krishna, I played a trick with Krishna, and actually Krishna didn't answer my questions, or he just remained silent. So generally when one remains silent, it means he's accepting. So he remained silent, Krishna remained silent, and he was just a little boy there holding some yogurt in his fingers, and a village boy, looked like a village boy. And but Krishna didn't express anything. And so Brahma thought, is he displeased with me? I don't know what he is. So therefore he came to see him in Antadvipa, come to Antadvipa. And he had the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Brahma said, you know, like the first trillion years, it's something like trillion years of my life have been wasted. I've been identifying myself as the controller of the universe, the lord of the universe, the enjoyer of this universe. I've made a big mistake. The next trillion years, I don't want to go through this again. So he got the darshan of Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu blessed him that when I come and perform my pastimes here, you can assist me, you'll become known as Namacharya, Haridas Thakur, Namacharya. And so you will help me in my pastimes. So he takes the partial incarnation with Haridas Thakur. So So everybody is actually bewildered in this world, from Lord Brahma to an ant. Everyone is bewildered under this bodily conception of life. And one has to come to the conclusion that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to Him. If one wants to get free from this illusion, which everybody is so deeply sunk, Srup Damodar Maharaj, or Srup Damodar Iskon, Manipuri Maharaj, they call it, he said that when science, modern science as we know today, when they started on this modern science, it started as an exercise saying, how far can we probe into the material nature, the material world? How far can we probe until we come to that point where I surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Can I go no further? So that was how science was supposed to be orchestrated. But then the scientists, they probe and probe and probe, and then when they come to that point where they should accept, now we're going to accept God, that there is a Supreme Person in control, in charge of this. But instead of doing that, they say, we don't need God, or God is dead, or we can... And then they go off into a whole just speculating on, you know, what it could be or what it couldn't be. Neti neti. So the science was actually made with this understanding that we're going to come to the conclusion that we come to a point where we can't go any further. So we'll accept the Supreme Personality of God. But we see now the scientists are not doing that. They put God is dead. God is, he's put him out the picture now, so we don't have to worry so much, because this understanding when there's no God is very good for my sense gratification. They like this philosophy. We don't have to become a servant of God. We don't have to become a servant. In fact, we can become the masters, the lords and masters. So this is the way the modern science has taken us now. And, emphasizing the idea of that we are the we are controlling so much that now we can enjoy enjoying and controlling propensity. But as Bhoktaram Jagatapasham Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Krishna is the enjoyer, he's the owner, the controller of all the planets. That is his position. So if we leave Krishna, give Krishna his position, let him have his position, then we will understand how things are working by the grace of God. We are not going to understand everything. But whatever we can understand, we can use that in the service of Krishna, the service of God. that's what it's for, or the real purpose, actually two purposes. One is for the living entities to identify with it, that being the controller and enjoyer, and accept adopting this enjoying spirit, mavarog, we're identifying with this body, and the enjoyer of the body. So everybody has this conception, not only human beings, but all species of life. They have the same conception that I am this body and I am the enjoyer of this body. So therefore the whole educational system has to be turned around, and Krishna consciousness is the only way to do that, is it? There is no other way practically to do that. But still the scientists, they don't accept this process. Of accepting Krishna as being the God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Prabhupada said that when I went to America, somebody asked me, I think it was, she was connected with who was that British person? Impossible. Can you make me a Brahmin? Swamiji? George Shetland, yeah, Lord Shetland. Can you make me a Brahmin? Yes. But you follow these principles: no eat meat, no eggs, no intoxication, no. Impossible. I can. Anyway, she was one of his followers, I think. She asked Prabhupada, can you recommend me a Bhagavad Gita that I... And Prabhupada said, no, he said, quite honestly, I cannot. In America at that time, there were about 600 different versions of Bhagavad Gita. And by different philosophers and yogis. But Prabhupada said, I cannot see one I can really recommend, because none of them are touching on the real spirit of Bhagavad Gita. They're still hanging on to the idea of themselves being the controllers and the enjoyers of this world. So he said, I cannot recommend, because none of them touch on the real spirit. So so therefore everyone is bewildered in this world, because even though Krishna has come and is given the process, he speaks Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, still This conception of being the controller and enjoyer is the main identification of the living entities in Kali Yuga. Even though there are spiritual paths, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, but if we examine them, they're all paths of controlling and enjoying. They're aimed at some spiritual understanding. Understanding Brahman and going on, Paramatma, Bhagavan, the realizations. But they, except for the devotees, they don't give up the conception of being the enjoyer, being the controller and enjoyer of this world. So even though they're doing different types of yoga and everything, consciousness is not purified. Because they've, intelligence is not purified, because they've come to the conclusion that of accepting the lotus feet of Krishna and surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna. So still that contamination is there. So even though they're religionists, they're practicing, they're on the path to Godhead, still they have this aspect of being the controller and joy is still strong, that's their strong identification. As long as that identification is there, then everyone is going to be bewildered. So only the devotee, he has a proper understanding of surrendering to Krishna. So Krishna is very plainly speaking, here is the solution to the problem. I'll give you, there's different types, Krishna said, I'm speaking here, the different types of yogas for your benefit. So what is the goal of karma yoga? Krishna says, what is it, karma yoga? Karma yoga means, yat ashi yat kuroshi. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Yat ashi yat kuroshi. Whatever you have, whatever is, we're offering and using in service to Krishna. So that's bhakti. So the conclusion of karma yoga, it means you're going to offer everything to Krishna. So the conclusion is bhakti. That's an act of bhakti. And Krishna speaking about jnana yoga, what is the conclusion of jnana? After being a jnani for thousands and thousands of births, one comes to the conclusion, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he surrenders unto him. So bhakti. So the conclusion of jnana yoga after millions of births of trying to understand the Absolute Truth. One comes to the conclusion, Vasudeva Sarvam, yes, Krishna is everything. Then he surrenders at that point. So the goal of the jnanis is ultimately it's bhakti. And for the yogis, yogi mamapi. Thank you. Yeah, it's Krishna. Of all the yogis, what does he say? Of all yogis? Invites, oh yeah, all yogis, one who abides in me with love and devotion. He is the greatest of all yogas. So that the mystic yoga is also the conclusion of mystic yoga is bhakti. It's all bringing to the point of bhakti. And bhakti is, for the devotees, is direct. Sarva dhanam parityaja mam ekam sharanam. Come, my devotee, surrender to me. otherwise everybody is bewildered. But Krishna so kindly given us these process of Krishna consciousness that can be easily adopted, easily accepted by anyone. So this is the mercy of Lord Gauranga, Lord Nityananda, Panchatattva, Guru Parampara. Everything is there. We have to just approach the devotees who know the science of Krishna consciousness and serve them and ask questions and put into practice Krishna consciousness. Then one lifetime we practice, we train to go back home, back to Godhead. This is the final training. Going back to Godhead. When Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men were in, was it Akura Lake? And Krishna showed them the Vaikuntha. They were taking their bath and Krishna showed them Vaikuntha. And they're all, Nanda Baba and all the cowherd men were astonished. Look, here's the spiritual world. We can see the spiritual world. They were taking their bath. I think Akurakund. We can see the spiritual world. And Prabhupada said in Krishna book, the training goes on. Yeah, they got to be the position of being fathers of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj and all the elderly. They got to be Krishna's father. So advanced. Yet, Prabhupada said, the training goes on. He was showing them their future destination. Vaikuntha world or Vaikuntha, they're all going back home, back to Godhead. The training goes on, even though you're with Krishna, you're performing pastimes with Krishna. The training goes on. So this is Prabhupada's teaching. He's been training us until the time of leaving our body, then we are trained to remember Krishna. Then we quickly call Krishna. Prabhupada said, if you have a desire for one Raskula, you will have to come back again in the material world. But who is so foolish after all these years in Krishna consciousness that you're going to be remembering a Raskula? No, we're going to remember the teachings of Prabhupada who has taught us. Remember Krishna. Then back to Godhead. This is Prabhupada's simpleness, is Prabhupada's greatness. Just surrender your life to Krishna, serve Krishna, all life, remembering Krishna at the time of death. Go back home, back to Godhead. Don't have to come back again in the material world. Back to Godhead ki, jai. Sri Prabhupada ki, jai. Lord Brahma's bewilderment ki, jai. Now we get these pastimes. Lord Brahma was bewildered, but we learn from it. Ultimately, Brahma was completely bewildered, but he surrendered to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Thank you. This is the brain. No. Yeah, is it green? I could change.
I can ask a question. Please forgive my foolishness. You just mentioned who is such a fool that for all these years then still thinking of one rasagula. I have to say, I am that kind of fool. Because like the lower nature of the body is very, very strongly demanding. Like sometimes I'm really hungry. Then that time I would be thinking of rasagula or rasamalai. How can we completely absorb ourselves in this Krishna consciousness? Thank you.
He's very old. Is it new? The mango. What happens if you forget? But you're Krishna's devotee. If you forget, then Krishna will remind you. His Gauranga will come and remind his devotees that he should be Krishna conscious. For the devotees who surrender their life to Krishna, they didn't. Krishna consciousness is like a family consideration. So all the do's and do nots are not really applicable for our devotees. Just like it says, you can take Charanamrita from the deity. You can go back to Vaikuntha. But if one drop falls on the floor, you've got to spend 7 births as a leper or something like that. It seems to be quite strict. So this is for the pure devotees. They still have some motivation, some material fruitive motivation, fruitive intention. They want something for Krishna, so they come to the temple and they're praying. They're praying. They want this, they want that, they want this, they want this. And Krishna says, okay, I'm here, that's what I'm here for. And I will give you I am giving you, fulfilling your desires, whatever you want. But you have to be very careful also, you have to be very strict also. You're coming to the temple, and you're approaching me, I am God. And you're recognizing that, and you're asking me for something, and I'm going to give it to you. But you have to be very careful. You've got to be on your P's and Q's. Otherwise, you drop one's Charanamrita on the floor, there, 7 births is a leper. Because you have a fruitive motivation. So here are the rules and regulations for the fruitive motivated people. And then we get so many books. Hari Bhakti Vilas and so many other books on rule and regulation. But most of these are not applicable for a person to surrender to Krishna, surrendered his life to Krishna. And he lives with devotees, he's dealing with devotees. So Sometimes brothers fight and sometimes sisters fight. But it's not considered a big thing in the family. So because the devotees, our intention is bhakti, is service. We are understanding our position as servants of Krishna. We're not asking for any material benefit. So all these rules and regulations, they're not really considered for the devotees. But you follow them out of etiquette. But Krishna will remind you, or Gauranga will remind you, if you forget. And if you leave your body in Nabadvip, at any kind of accident or by whatever, one gets devotion to Krishna. So you don't get devotion in this material world. So that means you go back to Godhead, or you go to that place where Gauranga is performing his pastime. Krishna's Bhakta Vatsala, he's very kind to his devotee. So be his devotee in the mood of surrender to him, and Guru will take care. You're initiated in a bona fide sampradaya, bona fide Guru, he will take care. It's said he is there at your side at the time of leaving your body. You can go to the spiritual realm. The Guru is there also to take you to the border, to the border of the spiritual world. He is encouraging you. Cross. Cross. But you have to make that decision. The Guru gives you all help. But you have to make that decision to take that step across the world of Maya into the spiritual world. That decision comes from you. So that is your bhakti. Hare Krishna.
You read yesterday a quote from the Padma Purana that if a pure devotee has some discrepancy in not executing some of his duties, like in Varnashram, there are 30 million great sages ready to execute the duties on his behalf, Krishna said. Krishna said in the Padma Purana that if a pure devotee has some discrepancy in executing his duties according to Varnashram, some material, you're saying these things don't apply to the surrendered devotees. So if there's some discrepancy, the Lord said there are 30 million great sages ready to perform those duties for that devotee.
For them. Where was that?
It was in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's from Padma Purana.
Another question from online. Hare Krishna, thank you for your sweet class. If we are very, very sincere and pure, is it possible one day Krishna's all pastimes will be manifested in our hearts? Is that possible? Krishna's all pastimes manifested in our hearts, if we are sincere.
All the pastimes of Krishna?
Yes.
Yeah, they become manifested in the devotee's heart. According to his degree of self-realization. and Brahma Samhita in the last verses. That one sees the spiritual realm, he sees the pastimes according to his self-realization. So it doesn't come to a point where it stops, realization stops. You see according to your degree.
But Krishna's pastimes are unlimited, right? They're endless. Krishna's pastimes are endless.
Krishna's pastimes are endless.
Yeah. So, if they're infinite, but our heart is finite.
Well, Krishna's pastimes are endless. They're going on eternally, and they're unlimited. How we can comprehend, or how we can compensate so many pastimes. So the pastimes are revealed as they're happening. And at that time, you're not thinking of any other pastimes, although all the pastimes may be there. When you're absorbed in one pastime, there's nothing else existing except that pastime. This is the nature of bhakti. It's ever present.
Okay, the pastime will also depend on the particular rasa one is in. Like if one is in Vatsalya rasa, then it will be like that, you know, with the child. But if one is more in Sakya rasa, then it will be different mood, or Madhurya rasa. There are different pastimes for different moods, right?
Yeah, also the aspect also. There's different attitudes there according to their ages and propensities of devotion. It's constantly changing. Everything is constantly changing. The example is given that I don't know if it's in the Shastra, but I think it there may be, even in Brahmaloka, there's a maybe have a beautiful chandelier hanging there. But that's also changing. The light emanating from the chandelier, it also changes, and everything is constantly changing and expanding. And you can see the chandelier from one angle of vision, the beauty, another person can see the same chandelier from another angle of vision, same chandelier. That's why it's called bewildering. Brahma is bewildered. I also become bewildered. I'm bewildered.
In the Brahma Samhita purport, one of the verses, it was said there was two kinds of meditations connected to chanting mantras, and like Chintamani, Prakarasadmasu, or Angani, Yasya Sakalendri. Those, in chanting those mantras, can reveal one particular pastime, the Lord fixed in a particular mood. And then there's a second kind of chanting and meditation where it said many of the pastimes will be revealed to one after another. So I don't remember the Sanskrit. First one was like swabhaviki something, and then the other one was mantra upasana, and then a couple more Sanskrit words. But I found it interesting that it was touching on what we're talking about. That by meditating on the mantra like Lord Brahma did, receiving diksha from the Lord, to begin with, it gave him just one particular pastime, and he focused on that solely and wholly. And then in chanting in another type of mood, the mantra revealed to him revolving or evolving, changing pastimes of the Lord.
Thank you. Yeah, like when Krishna entered the arena of Kamsa, then there were different devotees there, and they all reciprocated with Krishna. The rest, the Mushtika and Chanura, they saw as like thunderbolts and hot. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. When Krishna went to Mathura,
then Uddhava came from Dwaraka. It's in
the first. Uddhava came to?
Uddhava came from Dwaraka to see him, to meet him, because they were cousin brothers. Uddhava wanted to meet with Krishna when Krishna came to Mathura. But that time, Krishna didn't create Dwaraka yet. But in the Bhagavatam, it's written that
he didn't create?
Dwaraka wasn't exist. That time, Krishna just came to Mathura. And from Uddhava came from Dwaraka. It's written in the first canto. And then from which Dwaraka he came? It was another Dwaraka or something? It's written in the first canto that Uddhava came from Dwaraka to meet Krishna in Mathura. From which Dwaraka he came? Because that time Dwaraka wasn't created by Krishna yet. So, do you know? Maybe it was some village around Dwaraka or what?
Anybody know the answer to that?
Bhagavad Gita yet, and the war of Kurukshetra also not happened. But that time you told me Bhagavad Gita is eternally existing. That's why it's no wonder that Krishna, when he was a small boy, when he was in Vrindavan, he can tell his father the philosophy coming from Bhagavad Gita. That's what, when I ask you that question. So same way, Dwaraka is also eternally existing. So it is possible Uddhava coming from Dwaraka. And also, at the same time, Krishna, he didn't create it yet. That creation of Dwaraka, that pastime is not manifested yet in that particular scenario.
Prakat and Apakaprakat, it may be like that. No, I didn't hear that.
Like one time, I asked you one question. In Krishna book, it is mentioned that Krishna is telling all his fathers and the elder cowherd man, no need to worship Indra, and he's speaking philosophy from Bhagavad Gita. But that time Krishna is a small boy. And Bhagavad Gita was spoken at the Kurukshetra war when he becomes adult, at least 125 years old or something. So how is it possible when Krishna is a small boy, he speaks Bhagavad Gita philosophy, he's talking about Bhagavad Gita, he quotes from Bhagavad Gita to his father. That time I asked you why, and you told me because Bhagavad Gita is eternal. So it's no wonder Krishna, he can quote even when he was a small boy. So in the same way, in the same logic, if we apply, then we understand Uddhava can come from Dwaraka because Dwaraka is existing eternally. So Uddhava can come from Dwaraka, although that time Krishna just came to Mathura. He didn't go to Dwaraka yet. He didn't create Dwaraka yet. Can we explain this way?
No, I can't explain.
Inconceivable.
When Krishna was studying in Sandipani Muni school, then he learned also all foreign languages.
What?
Many foreign languages.
foreign languages he studied. He learned a lot of languages, different countries. Foreign languages. It's written. He learned many foreign languages. But that time, how we understand the planet was one, only a Sanskrit language, or like, is it was another countries with different languages at that time also? Because it's written that Krishna learned different languages, different.
I'm sorry, I can't understand. Not getting it.
In Sandipani Muni school, Krishna learned for one day how to speak on many, many different languages. But that time was in other countries with different languages. Is it also? It wasn't one state. It wasn't only Bharatvarsha with one language. It was many.
No, the places were existing. Europe was existing. But the Malechas and Yavanas lived there. So Parikshit and the followers of the Vedic principles, there wasn't much interested in going there because that's the place of the Yavanas and Malechas. But they were there, the places were there, and the cultures were there. But because they were outside of Vedic culture, then we see the kings didn't bother with so much going there.
He taught them to speak the language of the birds, the language of the bears and the beasts, the different animals. They all have their own language. So Krishna learned all the languages.
There's one place Krishna is speaking with Uddhava, I think. And they were speaking in a foreign language. And Prabhupada said they were speaking English. They were speaking English. Where was that? It was Uddhava and Krishna. I think they... Was it a... They didn't want other people to know what they were speaking. They didn't want to know what they were speaking, so they spoke in the English. He spoke the... Yeah, English. Yeah, I think it was
Uddhava.
I think so. I can't remember where it was.
Second canto has the Gundas, Gundas, and what have you, and Srila Prabhupada talked about the Pandavas going in different parts of the globe. So that indicates different religions coming, different languages, different races at that time.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Jai.